Pride. Oh, my goodness. We've got lots of people joining us this morning. Good morning, everybody. You want to tell us who you are and where you're from? This is Mary Lou and Ruth Williams and Monty Deeds and Doug.
Steve Blowfoot, Sandy, Utah.
Keith. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doug. All right, Ruth, should we get going?
Let's do it.
I got 7:01 here in Arizona.
Well, time to get started then.
Okay. Well, welcome. This is Monday morning, beginning of another wonderful week. And this welcome to our Health Style Call. And our mission is to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit. And as you can see on this first slide here, you'll see many pictures of many of us that are on these calls. We've got lots of other people on the calls that we don't have pictures for yet. So if you're a person that's on here often or a regular, please send a little picture to Ruth at Bybee Hurton. No, at Not Hurton. If you can see at the bottom here, not.hurton@gmail.com. Okay, Ruth, on Mondays, I like to kind of go back and review what it is that we are doing on our health style choice. A lot of us here want to lose a few pounds. Some of us here just want to be healthier all over. And we're all striving to have a perfect 10-day. And you know what? If we end up with 5 or 6, we are on our way because we may be... when we first started, weren't doing any of these things. So first of all, the very first thing that we get a point for is drinking our PIMAG water, and we say 8 or more 8-ounce glasses. A good rule of thumb is half your body weight in ounces. However, with all the reading that we've been doing lately on water, we are finding out that our body uses about 2.5 quarts a day just to... through our perspiration and elimination, we go through about 2.5 quarts a day. So especially when it's hot, and I hear it's even been hot in the Pacific Northwest, we should add another quart to that. So good thing too is I figured out how much water I want to be drinking. I know how many ounces are in my glass, and I lay that many pennies out on the counter so that I can keep track throughout the day. There's lots of different ways that people can keep track of the water that they drink, but that's just easier for me. I almost always got a big glass of water with me, PIMAG water. And then make sure that we're getting 7 to 8 hours sleep a night, and we absolutely recommend the Nikan Sleep System for that because you'll get better quality sleep. And then exercise, and we are recommending exercise 30 minutes a day or more, but it doesn't even need to be done all at once. So a lot of people are in a position where, if they can exercise for 10 minutes three times or 15 minutes twice or something, that's good. Just get up and get moving. A lot of us find ourselves sitting at our computer or something, and that's not a good idea. We find out that you need to get up and move around at least every 30 minutes as well. So that 30 minutes there is a good reminder to me to get up and move. And then, of course, we don't get all the nutrients in our food anymore, so there are some nutritionals that we talk about on these calls and tell you more about, and this is just a list of some of our favorites. And then journaling. How are you going to know what you're really, if you're getting results? Is your body liking this? I think you'll find out it does. So journaling is really important, and it doesn't need to be hard, but it needs to be done. And all I do is I print off this sheet, and then I flip it over because I've been doing this a while, and I write down what I've eaten. And if I notice something, if I get tired or anything, or it seems like I get hungry sooner, I can go back and look at what it was that I had eaten. Maybe I needed to get a little bit better balance. We're talking about three meals. Many of us are having one or two body balance shakes a day. If you want to lose weight, that would definitely be the way to go. A couple of body balance shakes and then a healthy meal, as well as a couple of snacks throughout the day. And Ruth will go over now to show them how to balance those. Anyway, if you do all of those things, you get a 10-point, perfect 10-day. That's a good one to strive for. When we talk about the balanced meals, these are, we're talking about alkaline versus acidic foods. And Ruth's made this wonderful chart and color-coded it for us so that we know what the most alkaline are. And we don't eat all most alkaline, but the whole thing is if we're going to have something that is acidic, we need to, have an amount, balance it out. If you have something that's acidic, get something in the alkaline that you're eating at the very same time. Okay, I see the little warning signs. Thank you very much. That's what I want to talk a little bit about today, is that a lot of people think that soy is a good choice. And I first started looking at soy. I'll briefly go over what I covered as far as thyroid and soy. But last night I dug in and found some Dr. Blaylock articles, and so I want to kind of go over some of the stuff that I found yesterday when I was looking up Dr. Blaylock. And he talks about he had come across the most comprehensive books ever written on the true nature of soy and the dangers associated with its products. And the name of that book is The Whole Soy Story by Kayla, K-A-A-Y-L-A, T. Daniel. And anyway, Dr. Blaylock says it contains a detailed history of global soy use, how Asian soy foods differ from Western products, as well as all pertinent research on the known dangers of soy consumption. For example, did you know that at least 75% of all soybeans in this country are genetically modified? And recent research has shown that genistein, the isoflavin component of soy, we hear a lot of that isoflavin. There's actually a company out there that says that they've removed the isoflavin. I don't know how they do that and still have soy as their protein source, because isoflavin is the protein source. It says that this genistein actually augments the growth of breast cancers. At first, as opposed to inhibiting them as was previously thought. There's also persuasive evidence that elevated soy intake may increase the risk of pancreatic cancer. Soy has soaring levels of excitotoxin glutamate, fluoride, and manganese, which can impair the developing brain and lead to Parkinson's in adults. There was a 25-year study, soy and brain damage. It says most frightening findings on excessive soy consumption to date, a 25-year-long Hawaiian study found that those who consumed the most soy had the greatest brain atrophy and dementia. Well, we're certainly hearing a lot more about dementia. Newer studies in which rats were fed doses of genistein, a phytoestrogen found in soy, determined that it destroyed brain cells. And then there was another study that found that the macaca monkeys that were fed diets high in soy over a long period of time, they became more aggressive, especially in the males. They were less social and more isolated. There were no changes in their testosterone levels. But with the obvious problems, and this is Dr. Blaylock saying this, obvious related to aggressive behavior in males in Western societies, why would we want to promote the current widespread soy consumption in our society? Yikes. Anybody have any comments or questions about any of that? It's, somebody asked the question, is soy sauce and soy the same thing? And Dr. Blaylock said soy sauce is a soy extract that concentrates the glutamate naturally found in soy. Soybeans have one of the highest glutamate levels in edible plants. Of course, glutamate is both an amino acid and an excitotoxin, meaning it can excite brain cells to death. As I've previously explained, excitotoxicity is considered a major mechanism in most of the neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Soy is used because, like MSG, monosodium glutamate, it enhances the taste of foods. I consider it a very dangerous product and one that should never be used, never be used by someone with a neurodegenerative disease or a family history of one. Those prone to seizures, MS, autism, ADD, ADHD, and other neurological conditions should also avoid it. Another thing here, Dr. Blaylock states is that soy products are high in fluoride, aluminum, glutamate, and manganese, and they're all are known neurotoxins and should be avoided. It's critical that mothers avoid all soy-based instant formulas, especially if they are reconstituted by water in a fluorinated water system. Soy-based formulas have a very high levels of these brain toxins, and a baby's brain is the most vulnerable until the age of 2 years. And then the other thing that I, as I was reading and researching this, it says of greatest concern is the recent finding that glutamate is a powerful stimulant of cancer growth and invasion, and I know we've covered that before. Follow-up studies have confirmed this. In fact, drugs that block glutamate were proven to significantly slow the growth of cancers and remarkably enhance the effectiveness of cancer and cancer chemotherapy agents. Most sensitive were malignant brain tumors as well as cancer of the breast, colon, and lungs. It says all of this becomes very important when you realize that the modern American diet is loaded with glutamate in the form of MSG, and then don't forget soy was one of the highest. Hydrolyzed proteins, caseinate, we've talked about that before, soy products and natural flavorings. Our national obsession with soy is ludicrous when you realize that soybeans have one of the highest glutamate levels in the plant kingdom. And mushrooms, especially portobello mushrooms, also have high levels of that. And has anybody heard of anyone who's had restless leg? I was very, very surprised. Dr. Blaylock went on to say somebody had these restless legs and magnesium was the only thing that helped them. But he said that anybody that has restless legs, this is definitely, recent research indicates that a special neurotransmitter in the brain called dopamine plays a central role in this restless leg syndrome. Deficiencies in dopamine are consistently found in those who suffer from restless leg,